You are listening to World Gone Mad, the crisis of capitalism and mental health. Hey everyone. Welcome back. It has been one hell of a month, hasn't it? A lot has happened and continues to happen. There doesn't really seem to be an end in sight to this pandemic. And, you know, like all of you, I'm all trying to keep my shit together and not totally lose my mind. It's day I don't even know of lockdown, and I have recently dyed my armpit hair pink, so that's where I'm at mentally. And of course, like many of you, I am sickened with grief and rage at the ongoing racist police violence in the States, but also here in Canada, where two Indigenous people have been killed by police in the last week alone. The myth of Canada being more peaceful or not having the same problem with racism is complete fucking bullshit. I want to express my support and solidarity with all individuals and communities who experience racism and state violence. This is very much a collective and intergenerational trauma on those communities, the healing of which ultimately requires the overturning of the whole system that is responsible for that oppression and its associated psychological traumas. It's not just a few bad apples. It's not even just a problem of the police. The whole damn system is guilty. Solidarity to everyone who is out there protesting, organizing, and fighting back. Resistance and activism can also take a heavy toll, both physically and mentally. So it's important, more now than ever, to take care of ourselves and each other to the best of our abilities with what resources we have when doing this work. So I hope you're all hanging in there and managing to cope as best as you can with the world on fire. While I have been heartbroken and just, you know, enraged all the fucking time at all the injustice, I'm simultaneously overwhelmed with hope. Hope stemming from the explosive Black Lives Matter protests that have erupted all around the world, which is calling into question a key pillar of the capitalist state, the police. But the movement is also making connections to the system the police defend, and how that system is responsible not just for racism and state violence, but for all the forms of oppression and exploitation that the vast majority of us experience under capitalism. It may oppress us and exploit us to varying degrees or in different combinations, but we all have a stake in uniting to overthrow this system. And seeing that collective consciousness develop as more layers of society get swept into these movements and come out in solidarity with Black Lives Matter and Black and racialized communities and make those connections to other forms of oppression and exploitation gives me so much hope for the future. We are also seeing really beautiful examples of solidarity, mutual aid, and community care spring up in major cities across the states and other parts of the world as people realize their collective strengths and their shared interests. And collective struggle like this has a powerful and transformative psychological effect on us. I believe that collectively fighting to forge a better world is the most meaningful way to counter capitalist alienation, which is what I wanted to talk about today, right? Taking that autonomy that capitalism strips us of back into our own hands, cutting through the alienation from one another that capitalism engenders through united struggle towards a common aim. And it's just so amazing that that is happening before our very eyes. I wanted to talk about alienation early on in the podcast because it's a foundational concept for understanding how the conditions of life under capitalism shape our psychological experience and our mental health. So I just wanted to lay that foundation down early on. I think it's important to highlight from the outset that While alienation under capitalism has such a strong influence on our psychology, alienation is not just a subjective state or experience. In fact, it's much more than that. Alienation is first and foremost an objective relationship of the separation of the producers from the means of production and the overall labor process. It springs from the material and social organization of society, so it's objective and not just a subjective state. It's important to emphasize this because when the term is used in the mainstream or even in academia, it's often spoken of as like a purely psychological state. And that waters down the concept and it takes the attention away from the material organization of society around production and exchange. Alienation cannot just be treated psychologically, right? It requires that we radically change how society is organized. So it's important to make that a central part of the analysis, so that our response is targeted at the root. The foundation of any society is production. How could it be any other way? Like, this is how we go about sustaining and replicating life. So it's literally what makes life possible, human life possible. So it's not surprising that work has a powerful impact on the lives of those who perform it. It's a central activity that dominates much of our lives. On average, people will work about 90,000 hours in their lifetime, which amounts to about a third of their life. Now, this doesn't include the black market, side hustles, who doesn't have one of those these days, right? And it doesn't include the number of hours people spend working outside of official paid hours. So in reality, I think it'd be fair to say that work dominates, tends to dominate more than a third of our lives on average. What people do during these hours often penetrates to the core of their being and their life stories. For some, work is very tied up with their identity. It's a source of meaning and accomplishment. For others, for many others, it's a source of agony, shame, and exhaustion. In either case, work deeply affects our self-perception and all other aspects of our life. So much of our lives are organized around the central activity of work, including the hours outside of paid work. Some people spend many years of their life obtaining training and education to prepare them for certain kinds of work. Many of us make decisions about where to live based on our work. Our routines and sort of domestic routines are very much organized around our work schedules. We commute to and from work. Some people spend upwards of 3 hours a day or more doing this. We organize childcare around our work schedule, as well as elder care or other family member care. For many people, our social lives are organized around work and are influenced by work. For some, behaviors and activities are dictated by work. Right? Like some people may refrain from using substances because they can be drug tested and be at risk of losing their jobs. Some folks would be risking it if they are politically involved. Their jobs would be at risk. So, like, our behavior outside of work can be curtailed and determined by work. The quality of our lives, what we can afford, what we have access to, can be determined by the kind of work that we have, or whether we're able to work at all. For those who are not able to work under the narrow capitalist definition of what is makes up valuable work, their lives are also heavily influenced by that separation entirely from the labor process. And finally, much of our time not working is spent thinking about work or doing work tasks. I found one study that showed that 45% of people work outside of normal paid hours, and another 49% answer emails, even when they're not at work. This doesn't touch on the psychological aspects, like how much we think about work, even when we aren't doing work-related activities. I couldn't find a study to quantify average time spent thinking about work, but I think it's to be expected that since we spend so much time of our lives at work and it has so much influence on other aspects of our lives, that work will occupy our minds a lot outside of work. I know when I ask my partner like what he's thinking, it's often about work, and it's the same for many of us. So work occupies at least a third of our lives on average, and most time not working is still organized around the activity of work in some way. It's bound to have a powerful impact on our mental health and our psychological states, right? Work has always been a central human activity. Part of what makes us human is the drive to manipulate our environment and our ability to apply our mental and physical faculties towards creating, inventing, innovating, and contributing to the collective. But under capitalism, the vast majority of us are alienated from this very central activity. In capitalist society, the most fundamental separation is the separation from the producers from the means of production. Right? The vast majority of us do not own the means necessary to produce the necessities of life. A tiny minority, the capitalist class, own and control these means, and the majority of us only have access to them by selling them our ability to work, right? Basically, by renting our time out to them. And when we do so, we work under conditions that we, the producers, ultimately do not determine. Marx laid out four aspects of alienation under capitalism. The first is alienation from the products of labor. The product of our labor, of our creativity, brain effort, and bodies, are not our own. What we produce while at work belongs to someone else, as what we produce is intended, above all, for sale by the capitalists on the market. The workers have no control over the purpose for which the commodity or service is created, its intended use, its content, quality, quantity, or how it is distributed and exchanged. Because the ends of capitalist production are not determined by the needs and interests of everyday people, of the majority, or of the workers and their communities, but by the employer's needs to generate profit. It is also the bosses who reap the vast majority of the benefits of this productive activity in the form of profits, right? In many cases, workers cannot even afford to buy the products of their own labor. So we have workers producing cash crops for the market when they themselves are malnourished. We have workers building houses and condos, which they will never be able to afford to live in, making cars that they can never buy, producing shoes that they can never afford to wear, and so on. The irrationality of this is absolutely maddening on its own. Not only is what we produce out of our control, but what we produce is actually hostile to us. What do I mean by that? We produce, they possess. The more we produce, the more productive power the capitalist owns and controls and wields over us. The more productive we are, the more enriched and strengthened becomes the capitalist class and their system, which is hostile to us. So we experience the products of our labor as something alien and hostile to us, instead of as an extension of ourselves, which work is meant to be, in my opinion. Related to alienation from the products of our labor is alienation from the labor process itself, that is, from our own labor activity. Under capitalism, we sell our ability to work to our bosses for varying durations, during which the bosses, not us, determine the conditions in which we work, how that work is organized, allocated, and divided, the intensity of the work, the technology, tools, and methods used, and the overall purpose of the work. We don't have control over this very central activity of our lives. And this has detrimental impacts on our mental well-being. Multiple studies have shown that workers are more content and satisfied at their jobs with the more autonomy and sense of purpose that they have. This even outweighs financial compensation in terms of job satisfaction, and it contributes to greater mental well-being, physical health, and just in a purely economic sense, productivity. Productivity goes up when people have more autonomy because they're invested in their work. It makes sense. But genuine autonomy and a sense of purpose isn't really possible or a reality for the vast majority of workers under capitalism. The organization and methods of production under capitalism are determined first and foremost by profitability, right? Not human need, not what's best for the workers or their communities. Marx spoke of workers being turned into appendages of the machine. In the name of efficiency and profit, many kinds of work are increasingly broken down into smaller and smaller, monotonous tasks with narrower specializations, draining many kinds of work of its creative potential. Being motivated by profits, the bosses also tend to drive the workers to work harder, faster, and for longer stints, driving many into exhaustion and burnout. A recent study in Canada showed that 95% of workers have experienced burnout. So this is like a basically generalized and widespread experience. It's basically the norm that workers are burnt out. Another aspect of being alienated from our own labor activity is that under capitalism, work for the vast majority is not an act of self-expression, right? Because we don't have control over that process or its purpose. It has nothing to do with our abilities, our talents, our interests, right? It's not, we don't get that sense of purpose from it because it's not related to what is intellectually or creatively meaningful and satisfying to us. On the contrary, work for most is only a means to survive, something that we are forced to do under threat of starvation, homelessness, and death. And even though one of the, what the proponents of capitalism will argue is that, money is the only and main incentive for work. This has been disproven time and time again. A Gallup poll found that a whopping 85% of workers globally are not engaged or are actively disengaged at work. The researchers found that the majority of workers are completely indifferent to the organization that they work for, meaning the majority of workers around the world show up to work to do the bare minimum and they do not give their best effort or their best ideas. It turns out that working just to survive is not really a great incentive to do your best. Surprise. And this is such a fucking devastating and colossal waste of potential, if you think about it, both for humanity as a whole. Think about all the innovation that society could benefit from if people had a sense of purpose, meaning, and autonomy over their work and were actually driven to innovate and create in the interest of humanity. And think of the waste of potential for the individual who is unable to fully realize their creative and intellectual potential, to fully express themselves and develop their passions and abilities. It's such a waste. It's a tragic waste. When the process and products of our labor, our creative, intellectual, physical efforts are owned and controlled by a hostile class who exploits us for profit, we are robbed of reaching our full potential and from achieving meaning and purpose in one of our main life activities. Even our so-called leisure time is poisoned by this alienation, with our so-called free time often becoming associated with escaping activity. Because for much of our lives, activity is compulsion. It's forced upon us. So, at times, many of us are compelled to do nothing out of sheer exhaustion. And so, this is another way that human potential is just wasted. We shy away from activity because for most of our lives, it's something that's forced upon us. When we think about the extent to which our lives are organized around work, how much time and energy we expend on it, how it is in many ways our primary life activity, and the importance work has in our identity and ability to express ourselves, it's not hard to imagine why being alienated from the process of our labor, from this main life activity, would have a negative impact on our mental health. Like, the conditions and process of work for most people on the planet are not engaging, they're not satisfactory, they're actually fucking soul crushing and backbreaking. One of the biggest illusions propagated by capitalist ideology and mainstream economics is that we are free. We enter into work contracts as free and equal individuals. We have freedom of choice, freedom of expression. Nothing could be further from the truth. Working for someone else's profit under risk of starvation and homelessness is not freedom. It's being held hostage. The majority of us have no genuine say over our own life activity, no genuine freedom of self-expression. We are prevented from realizing our full potential by social and economic conditions at every turn. And it's so detrimental to our mental well-being. Keep in mind that having a sense of purpose and meaning, as well as a sense of control and autonomy, are all core aspects of what make up mental health. And these are all things that capitalism and the alienation it engenders systematically erodes and curtails. A core element of mental health is what we call in psychological terms is an internal locus of control. This means having the sense that our circumstances are determined by our own actions, that we are ultimately in control of our fates and life outcomes. When we perceive that our circumstances are out of our control, which is called an external locus of control, this is associated with reduced mental well-being. There's so many aspects of life under capitalism that threaten our sense of autonomy and control, or quite literally strip us of autonomy and control in our lives, with alienation and working conditions under capitalism being one of them. Feeling a loss of control over our lives is a core element of several mental illnesses or mental health challenges. Feeling a loss of autonomy and control is a central aspect of post-traumatic stress. It's a core element of anxiety and panic. It's a central aspect of obsessive-compulsive disorder, as well as eating disorders, addictions, and self-harm. In fact, many of the associated coping behaviors to these mental health challenges involve an attempt to regain control. So it really goes to show how important having a sense of autonomy, not just a sense, having real, genuine autonomy over our lives is, and how severely detrimental having that autonomy taken away from us is to our mental health, right? And I'm not saying that alienation and the loss of autonomy it entails is the direct cause of each instance of mental illness, because these are very complex and multifactored experiences. But as a defining feature of life under capitalism, I would certainly argue that alienation erodes our mental well-being as well as our sense of autonomy, and it leaves us vulnerable and susceptible. It's sort of like the baseline that we're all operating from, right? Like our genuine autonomy over our circumstances of life are, for all of us, eroded by life under capitalism. And then you add other aspects of life under capitalism, like state violence, like violence spurred by misogyny or homophobia. And so on and so forth. And this will vastly exacerbate the effects of alienation. So it's like a baseline that we're all operating from, and it leaves us at least more vulnerable to mental distress. Not only are we alienated from the product and activity of our labor, but flowing from these is a third aspect of alienation, which is alienation from the self and in turn from our very humanity. Work is an activity through which people can most clearly manifest their unique qualities and abilities as human beings. And I don't mean just the narrow definition of work under capitalism of generating a profit for somebody else, but any activity that involves mental or physical effort in order to achieve a purpose or result. Work is or should be an expression of the self and the realization of the potential of the self and humanity. But by being forced to sell our ability to work, to lose control over our central life activity, is to have work be turned from self-expression into self-denial, right? Work becomes a stifling of our self. And as I've mentioned, for the vast majority of people on the planet, work actually prevents us from realizing our authentic selves, right? And as I've talked about, having a sense of meaning and purpose is a core component of mental well-being. The stronger sense of purpose people have correlates to increased mental well-being. But capitalism strips our work of meaning and purpose, right? It turns it into something alien and hostile to us, to the point where partaking in it means denying core aspects of ourselves. I remember seeing a social media post some time ago where someone was saying that they always laugh when they see their friends at work because they're almost completely different people when they're there, and it's just like, ha ha ha, that's not you. I know you, and that's not you. And it actually, I mean, I found it really fucking depressing, right? Because, like, I know exactly what they're talking about. Most of us are not ourselves at work. Anyone who's worked in customer service or the service industry, especially, knows that there's so much pressure to put on a different face. And it's the same with office jobs and really a lot of different kinds of work, where we have to stifle our authentic selves for 8 hours a day or more. I mean, that is going to be detrimental to our mental well-being. And at a deeper level, this alienation from the self, this loss of meaning and authentic self-expression, represents an estrangement from our humanity. Marx used the term species being, which I always liked the sound of. And that refers to the essence of what it means to be human and our understanding of ourselves as being part of the collective. Like I said, creation, invention, and in other words, work, is a central aspect of what it means to be human. As humans, we are able to consciously and collectively shape the world around us to meet our needs and satisfy our interests, both individually and collectively. But under capitalism, that amazing ability is subjugated to production for profit, and it's therefore stifled. And so, to be estranged from our labor, to be estranged from our own life activity, that which represents the realization of humanity, is to be estranged from our human essence. To have what is the realization of humanity turned into something alien and hostile to us represents an estrangement from ourselves and our human essence. And I would argue is at least one of the roots of epidemic levels of mental illness around the globe. Like, we are so separated from the conditions of life that would be conducive to mental well-being. We are so estranged from our own humanity, from our own authentic selves, and from one another, that we become unwell. That brings me to the fourth type of alienation, that of alienation from other humans, from one another. Another fundamental aspect of humanity is that we are social beings. We evolved and survived through social cooperation. We're quite literally hardwired for it, right? We, like babies from infancy, we are hardwired to rely on others. And social inclusion and connection are core aspects of mental health as well. But capitalism is based on exploitation, oppression, competition, individualism, and hostile and antagonistic relationships. So it's not conducive to social inclusion and connection thriving. Under this system, we are all pit against each other in competition, distorting how we relate to one another, right? And driving that alienation and estrangement from one another. The conditions of life under this system impede genuine social connection on so many fronts, right? I mentioned the competition, but there's also just like the burden of work and domestic labor and how they leave us exhausted with little time to foster those meaningful relationships, right? I think that's something that I'm sure many of you can relate to. Like, as a working adult, it's fucking hard to make time for family and friends. Then there are things like austerity and cuts to social programs and gentrification, which devastate and wreak havoc on communities and increase social isolation. We are also socialized with relentless marketing that encourages us to constantly compare ourselves to each other in the pursuit of status and prestige, right? And like, constantly comparing ourselves to each other. I mean, not only does it distort how we relate to one another, not only does it make it hard to connect, it also causes like deep insecurity, low self-esteem. It contributes to depression, anxiety, eating disorders, and so much more, right? Like, we are meant to be cooperating, not competing. And so when we are pit against each other in competition, it really erodes our mental health. And in turn, the depression, anxiety, addiction, and other mental health challenges that are rooted in the conditions of life under capitalism in turn make it harder to meaningfully connect with others, right? Like, the younger generations especially, like, we're all so fucking anxiety riddled. It's hard to just like talk to another human being, never mind deeply connect with them. Obviously, oppression and discrimination also divide us and alienate us from one another, right? And oppression and discrimination are also rooted in the capitalist organization of society and in class society, where one class owns and controls the means of production and exploits the rest of us. These things degrade and dehumanize all those who experience it, and as I've said, they divide us. And this has very detrimental impacts to mental health as well. Under capitalism, we're still all highly interdependent on one another through social production, because under capitalism, you still have socialized production, but you have only private appropriation of the wealth. So the food that we eat, the items that we use, the clothes that we wear, and so on, they all involve a mass collective effort and chain of production, right? These social relationships, however, are all governed by the market and by money. Instead of people working together for a common cause in the interest of the collective majority, many of our relationships become commodified. In many cases, we don't even see the people that whose work and efforts have allowed us to live the lives that we lead, right? Our lives are touched by thousands of people every day. People whose labor has made our clothes, our food, our home, but we only know them through the objects. So we're alienated from people in that sense as well. Even our most intimate and romantic relationships are influenced by money. Historically, marriage was a purely economic relationship, right? Like, it's something women had to do just to survive. Finances also remain one of the biggest strains and sources of conflict in relationships to this day. Wu-Tang had it right. I'm proud of myself for doing that, although I have no audio editing skills, so I literally just had to like play it on YouTube. Anyways, these conditions profoundly impede our ability to meaningfully foster social connections and inclusion, and it has devastating results. I've mentioned some of them already, but another outcome are epidemic levels of social isolation and loneliness. I saw a study recently that showed that a quarter of millennials say they have no friends whatsoever, not even acquaintances. A quarter. 22% said they had no close friends, and 30% say they have no best friends. Like, basically, the whole generation is really feeling that estrangement from others so heavily. 30% of millennials surveyed said they always or often feel lonely, compared to 15% of baby boomers and 20% of Gen X. So we can actually see that social isolation is on the rise with each generation. And what does this correlate to? The deepening of the crisis of the capitalist system. Elderly people also experience high rates of loneliness. This is largely the outcome of, well, a lack of social funding and services, as well as capitalistic views about people's worth being determined by their productivity. And social isolation, regardless of which generation or age group you're in, has devastating impacts. Studies have shown that social isolation can be as harmful to our bodies as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Studies have also shown that social isolation increases premature death by 50%. So it's fucking huge. Social isolation is also linked to depression and suicide, among other mental health challenges. So this really speaks to the importance of social connection for mental well-being. It shows how integral connection to others, meaningful connection to others, is to being human, but capitalism is simply not conducive to it. As long as we live in a world where a small minority own and control the majority of wealth and resources, pitting us against each other in competition, our relationships to one another are going to be distorted to some degree. So the only way to rid ourselves of alienation once and for all would be to get to the root cause, which is ultimately the separation of the producers from the means of production. It's the class division of society, right? We need to collectivize the means of production and put them to work in the interest and needs of the majority of humanity as a whole, and not a tiny parasitic minority. Now, I don't want to suggest that like we just have to sit around and wait for the revolution to tackle alienation, or at least to work to minimize some of its worst impacts. There are things that we can do and must do in the here and now, right? In the here and now, we can foster community and meaningful connections in our lives. We can look out for one another and support one another, right? We can reach out to we can to friends and family, to neighbors. We can help one another. We can do community care. We can do mutual aid. We can give our time and energy to the struggle. We can join for fighting organizations, revolutionary organizations. We can get involved in political movements. We can also strive to find outlets for our passions and to exercise our creative, mental, and physical faculties in ways that are meaningful to us. Now, this is a really important aspect of mental well-being. Of course, we have limits placed upon us by capitalism, but we can find ways to exercise our passions and interests within those limits as best as we can to improve our mental health. With the understanding that we'll always be limited until we get rid of this rotten system. We can and must fight for funding for our community programs and services to reduce social isolation and to meet people's needs. We can and must fight all instances of discrimination and oppression in our communities, workplaces, schools, and social movements. We can organize and show solidarity, right? We can show up in meaningful ways for the struggles of workers, youth, and oppressed groups. And we can get involved and promote class struggle, right? Strikes, occupations, and mass demonstrations that interrupt the profits of the capitalist system. This is the most meaningful way that we can affect large-scale change and gain more control and autonomy over our collective fates, right? You have to hit them where it hurts. And class struggle involves all layers of society, like the oppressed and members of the working class, coming together in a common struggle. So it means that workers and those experiencing oppression and coming from marginalized communities no longer see themselves as isolated individuals or groups kind of fighting their own struggle. It teaches people that they actually have a common enemy and that we have so much more to gain by uniting. So it actually really works to cut through social isolation and alienation from one another. And ultimately, yes, Fighting for radical, revolutionary change is crucial to combat alienation and the conditions that give rise to it once and for all. When we do fight for reforms or for more funding or more programs, we always have to connect that to the overall crisis of the system, right? We can win reforms, but reforms can be taken away. So if we want long-lasting, permanent change, revolution is the way to go. Through the process of uniting to fight for a better world, people's consciousness transforms. We start to view each other not as competitors, but as having the same common interests, even if we come from different groups and backgrounds. Through collective struggle, we also take our fates into our own hands and democratically and collectively determine how to direct the vast resources and products of our collective labor in the interests of our communities and humanity as a whole, right? Through these struggles, we take that autonomy back. Through a collective struggle for a collective society would emerge a collective solidarity-based consciousness instead of consciousness shaped by alienation and competition. And it will be fucking beautiful. It's already starting to emerge with this wave of struggle around the world. And I believe that it's fully possible in our lifetime if we organize and fight for it. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening in. If you're enjoying the show so far, I'd super appreciate if you could subscribe to it on whichever platform you're using to listen to podcasts. There's also a Facebook page where new episodes will get posted, along with articles on capitalism and mental health or thoughts that I have that I think you might find interesting. And I'd love for folks to like and follow the page, but as well as to interact with it. I'm hoping that we can have some meaningful discussions and learn from each other there. So you can find the Facebook page by just searching the name of the podcast, World Gone Mad, The Crisis of Capitalism and Mental Health, or by searching at The System Is Mad. So thanks again for tuning in. Take care until next month.